here. And I want to remind some of our youngins that your class is going on right now. That's you. Y'all, you go. You can go ahead. Your mama told me to remind you, Caroline. Go on. You can go ahead. See there? Uh-oh. Mama gave her the eye. When's the last time you got the mama eye? Sometimes I see it come by, and it wasn't even intended for me, but it still kind of shakes me a little bit inside, kind of like, uh-oh, what'd I do? The mama eye come out. Anyway, so glad that you're here. The band's going to lead us in worship. I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to get rolling. So if there's anything you got, anything on your mind, anything on your heart, that'd be like, well, I got this going on. We're struggling. We're blessed. We're going to be leaving on vacation, but this is important. It's important when the body of Christ gathers together to hear the word. It's important when the body of Christ gathers together to sing praises to the Lord. So whatever you might have, might be something in the crock pot waiting for you when you get home, might be dinner with your family, you might be grilling out, you might be heading out. Pause for right now and let all that go and just hear what the Word of God would say to you, okay? Let's keep that in mind as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, make your people gathered here today single-minded, just that we might pay attention and hear and not get caught up in what we got to do. We didn't come just to go. We've come to hear from your word. We've come to sing your praise. We've come to worship. And so, Father, would you just bless us in that? We need your blessing. We can't bless ourselves or be blessed by any lesser. We need your blessing, your presence, your kindness, your goodness, your spirit, your presence here. And that's what we're asking for, Lord. We love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Beauty. It just feels so much more worshipful when you stand up.
But that song, I mean, I know that song, Here I Am to Worship, has been around a really long time, but it's one that has one of my favorite lines. Just to think about, maybe it doesn't hit you the way it hits me, but when it says, I'll never know how much it cost, Christ. I'll never be able to fathom. I mean, he took all of our sins upon himself, but what it was like to take my sin upon himself. It's more than I can ever comprehend, and that I've always loved that line in that song. I took a group of youth years and years ago to Centrifuge, and I still very vividly remember being in a worship service, and they sang that line of that song, and it was just this huge room full of young people, and we just sang that line over and over again, and there was just such a spirit of worship. And we're never going to understand the depth of what Christ did for us. But we can give him praise. So let's do that.
Carry the cross.
And just an a cappella chorus. I believe most of you will know this. It's a very old song. But it's just one that, for some reason this week, I've woken up every morning thinking about this song. And it comes from Lamentations chapter 3. I'm going to read you verses 22 and 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So I know most of you should know this. I don't believe we have the words up, but we're just going to go through this twice. And I think it's beautiful. It never ages to me. This song doesn't. It's wonderful no matter what style you like, no matter what kind of music is your favorite. The words of this song just always ring true. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands hath provided. Great.
We don't always get what we want, but God has always supplied us with what we need. I've been through some bad financial times, me and Judy both, but we always got what we needed. I remember one time years and years ago, the power company come by and turned our electricity off. I was at the point there wasn't no way I could pay that to get the lights back on. I walked around behind the house, knelt down by myself and prayed. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I've got to have electricity on. Within 30 minutes, my brother-in-law pulled up the house, brought me a check for $250, some money he owed me for about 2 years before that, and he hadn't think about it and brought it to me. I got back on my knees and thanked him for it. Going to do a couple old hymn songs, When We All Get to Heaven.
When traveling days are over. shall not aside.
Had a dream. Me and Bert was right out there working on church, and there was a commotion went on. I really didn't know what it was at first, but it was the trumpet sounded. And me and Bert looked, and right over here we saw Jesus on a cloud coming down. And I woke up and I said, Lord, I did not want that dream to end. That was me and Bert were hollering, we were hugging one another, and it was so real at the time, just like it was actually happening. You don't know, and I woke up and said, golly, I didn't want that.
pray for us as Brother John comes. Thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you that we're privileged enough to be able to be here to worship you. And as Brother John brings the message, I just pray that you would lead him in saying exactly what you would have him to say. And just in this moment, I want to ask you that as their family leaves on an extended, very, very long drive, I pray that you would protect them, bring them home to continue to minister here in Grenada, and just be with them and protect them, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We have a lot of folks traveling we need to be mindful for and pray. Also, I think we have one of ours, Miss LaTanya, I think is being taken home now. She came and got not feeling well. So if y'all will pray for Walter and LaTanya, they're here with us often, but I see them getting loaded up in the van to be taken home because she wasn't feeling well. So keep them in mind. Also, if you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 18. We're going to continue speaking about truth. I titled this sermon, Have You Heard the Truth of Jesus? Comes from 18 and 37. It's really about the conflict that comes when you stand in the truth. This message is about learning a hard reality in this world. We all see it, but it's religious systems and political systems, they don't understand Jesus. It shows the utter failure for the organization, man-made organizations, to recognize the truth that comes through Jesus Christ. Now, we all have high hopes. You know, we all want our political leaders to do right. We all want our denominations to do right. But I'm going to tell you, in John 18 and John 19, I think what we see is how the religious system of the time of Christ totally fails to recognize the Messiah, Jesus Christ, whom they had been waiting and praying for centuries. And the reason why they couldn't see him is because they didn't really want him, they wanted their version of him. And then we get the political system, a tense, complex political system in the first century. Somehow or another, we think we invented tense, complex politics. Our politics were nothing like then. We have a Roman governor ruling in Israel over the Jewish people, and you get the inkling that he's trying to do right. He's even listening to the Messiah and hearing this truth, and he's giving him a trial, and you get the sense that Pilate's doing the best that he can. We'll read the scripture, and we'll watch a little clip. But nonetheless, he can't hear the truth, because in his world, in his mind, his boss, Caesar, the policies of the Roman Empire have blocked out any kind of truth that Christ was bringing to him. And even though the truth is going to fall off of Pilate's lips, so then you are a king, he still is not going to get it. Imagine being so close. And it's one of the frustrating things of our time, because we live in a time when where we have to pick teams. It's become so tense, even in Grenada. Excuse me, somebody left a suitcase right there by my feet. Even in Grenada, the politics are becoming so intense, so polarizing. And of course, in our country, it's so intense. And I'm going to tell y'all something, that there is a team we need to pick. And it's not the white team. And it's not the black team. It's not the Republican team. And it's not the Democrat team. It's not the rich team or the poor team. It's not the southern team or the northern team or the eastern team or the western team. It's the kingdom of God that Christians need to choose. And say, that's it. We're going to stand up for Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. Donald Trump is not going to hear the truth of Jesus Christ if he's the one leading the Republican Party. And Hillary Clinton's not going to hear the truth of Jesus Christ as she leads the Democratic Party or leads this nation. I'm putting those names out there, but who cares? They're leading in something else. I'm not trying to judge their spiritual status. I'm just telling you, religious systems and political systems don't ever get Jesus. Okay? And people of God, listen to me. We ought to vote and take our civic responsibility serious. But you ought to take your kingdom citizenship in Christ 100 times more serious. Okay? This is not our home. I'm going to tell you, we were talking about getting passports so we can get back in the country after God takes us to Guatemala at some time to go serve those folks. We had a visitor from Ahava Ministry challenging us to go to Guatemala. And somebody said, Everybody have to have a passport to go? I said, if you want to get back in the country, you do. You know, that's one of those citizenship things. You want to get back here, you're going to have to crawl through a river under a fence, or you're going to have your passport, okay? Well, our passport, our main citizenship is in heaven. It's not here. And when we speak of the truth of Christ, I mean, George W. Bush didn't get this right. Well, we all serve the same God. That's baloney. That's a lie from, that's not true. There is a God, a real God. He gave us his word. He gave us his son. And y'all, political systems, don't put your faith in them. Don't put your trust in the candidates. Put your trust in Christ and in Christ alone. And I'll tell you, and serve Christ in Christ alone. Cast your ballot. Do your thing. Follow your heart. Be a citizen. But remember, your citizenship belongs to heaven. Now, I'm going to read just a little bit of this. And then we're going to watch, we're going to queue up a video that kind of shows it. Now, it's in Latin and Aramaic because I know how many Latin and Aramaic speakers we have here. So I just want to do that just to thrill your soul. But let me read John 20, 18, verses 28 up to 36 here, just kind of give us the background. And right before this time, the religious leaders had given Jesus a trial. And in their trial, they souped it up so that they emphasized that Jesus was threatening the temple, because threatening the temple was a capital offense. So that was the souped up charges that the religious leaders put on Jesus because they couldn't recognize Messiah. And then now they're bringing them to Pilate, the political leader. It says, then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning, but they themselves did not go into the praetorium lest they should be defiled. They're going to lead Jesus Christ, a man whom they know the charges are trumped up, to a certain death, but they don't want to go inside the praetorium because their religion said they're going to be defiled. Now, who cares about conspiracy to murder? Anyways, I digress. But they didn't want to be defiled that they might eat the Passover meal. Pilate then went out to them and said, what accusation do you bring against this man? They answered and said to him, if he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you. Let me tell you what they're saying right there. Trust us. Just do what we say. You don't need to investigate this. You don't need to ask any questions. Just do away with this guy. They didn't want no trial. They didn't want no fuss and no muss. They just do away with him. Pilate says, you take him and judge him according to your law. Therefore the Jews said to him, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. Jesus said he was going to be lifted up. Then Pilate entered into the praetorium again. He called Jesus, and he begins to interrogate him. And now we're going to watch this video. So y'all go ahead, play the video, turn it up loud, and turn these front lights off. But we're going to see this exchange between Pilate and Jesus. And I'm going to stay up here and talk until they get it rolling. Here it goes. It was in Latin and Aramaic anyway, okay? But y'all read it, right? And so we're just going to go ahead and put the lights back on. But I just kind of wanted you to see and get the idea of the conflict that truth brought into that situation. It's kind of neat seeing somebody stand nose to nose. And in that conversation that Pilate and Jesus have, there's some truth that comes out. I'll just read it here, just finishing out the 18th chapter of John, or going through 38. Pilate entered the praetorium, he called Jesus to him and he said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate said, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born. For this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" We're going to stop. Father, now we've heard your word. We kind of have that picture of this trial, the jeering going on, the tension between these two men face to face, one representing the kingdom of heaven, one representing the empire of Rome. And Father, we live in this time where we have conservatives and liberals. We have folks on each side yelling, protesting, screaming. Would you help us, Father, to align wholeheartedly, unapologetically with Christ? Line your people up, Lord. Help us. Help us not to batter and beat at each other with these things that will never last, with these labels and titles that are insignificant to eternity. Lord, help us. We love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know the last time somebody was in your face. Somebody was asking you things, and it was just tense, like that video showed. But, y'all, it's a bad feeling. But you know what I feel like the Spirit of God is teaching His church? Get used to that bad feeling of being confronted about your faith in Jesus Christ. Being confronted about the exclusive claims of Christ and the truth of what He says. You know, we want everybody to go to heaven and all these things. We had a big old funeral for Muhammad Ali, great boxer. Where's he going? It ain't my job to say where he's going. But I'm, as a preacher, I can say anybody, there's only one way to get to the Father, and that's through Christ. Y'all, and those kind of things are going to make us look intolerant or backwards or old or whatever they're going to call insane or just, y'all, so narrow-minded. That's all right. Let me be narrow-minded with the dude who knows how to raise people from the dead. Okay? Let me be on his side, and I'll be as narrow-minded as he wants me to be. You know, it's not about not loving folks. It's not about not tolerating folks. It's about not backing away from the truth. And there's some truth that's here that's just, to me, it's still confrontive. Especially in our time of political correctness, our time of don't say anything that's going to hurt anybody's feelings. Don't say anything that can be, considered insensitive. Well, we ought not go out there being rude. Rude don't get you nothing. You don't get heaven points with God for being rude and obnoxious. Just tell the truth and tell it in love. Now, here's 3 points, 3 or 4 points, 5 or 6 points. How many of your points God wants us to have, right? From this section of Scripture where the truth is out there, and I just want you to, I want to hear what you think. I want you to hear in your own mind and your own heart what you think, okay? The first thing is dealing with the kingship of Jesus Christ. Now, I think when Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you a king?" He asked him twice. "So you're a king then? Are you a king?" You know, and he's trying to get to this. He's trying to interrogate Jesus. And Jesus eventually says, "Yeah, it's just, you said it. You hit it, buddy. That's the reason for why I was born. That's why I've come to this world. You got it. But my kingdom's not from here." Now, what I think was going on in Pilate's mind is he was looking at this beat up, dirty Jewish man, because he'd already been pummeled a good bit by the Jewish police and at the Jewish court. And so he's looking at this man who thinks he's a king. And I think Pilate was saying something like this in his mind. This guy might be crazy, but he's harmless. He might be crazy, but he's harmless. There ain't nothing, no need to punish this guy. He's he's just off his rocker a little bit. You know, it's like there's probably places in Mississippi where there's a bunch of people living, some who think they're Napoleon, some who think they're Jesus, some who think they're the president of some island country somewhere, you know. And so I imagine they had crazy people in that time too. And he probably just looked and said, this guy's just a little crazy, but ain't no sense in killing him. He's harmless enough. When I talk to people, especially, and I'm talking about Christian people now, you almost get this sense. I'll stick with Jesus as long as it don't cost me nothing, as long as it's not offensive, as long as I don't hurt nobody's feelings. I'm going to treat him like he's just, like, not like he's a king, but kind of like he's my crazy friend. Okay? Like Jesus is just my crazy friend who every once in a while I talk about him, but when it comes to like life change, when it comes to serving him, when it comes to going on mission in his name, praying in his name, standing up in his name, sharing the truth of his gospel, like we would do if he was a real king, no, then he's just a crazy friend. Yeah, he's good, but he's harmless. You know, just would y'all just let me have my Jesus? You know, it's getting to where our country is backing Christians off into a hole, and it's almost like we're saying, would y'all just let us keep our nice little private Jesus? You know, like if Jesus was like this microphone, like, don't worry, we'll just keep him in our pocket. You know, we won't talk about him when we come outside. We won't talk about him when we come out of our church. We won't talk about him when we're practicing politics. We won't talk about him in the court of law. We won't talk about him in the schoolhouse. We won't talk about him here and there. But when we gather together in our little buildings, we pull him back out because he's our great crazy friend, Jesus. Y'all, Jesus isn't crazy and Jesus isn't harmless. Jesus is the Son of God who invaded this world to take it over. His kingdom that is not from here is coming here. Matter of fact, right now, this day, no doubt, millions of people are praying a prayer somewhere along these lines. Your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Somewhere, that's being prayed. What are we praying for? Praying for a kingdom to come. Why? Because, and whose kingdom is it? If you go to the end of that prayer, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The book of Daniel prophesies that every kingdom will fall, save one, the kingdom that God is establishing through Christ, and it won't be given to anybody else. There's a kingdom coming. And y'all, it's not just that Jesus is our nice Savior, buddy, crazy friend who is just way out there. He is the King of Kings. He's going to have that on his thigh. He's going to have a crown on his head. And he is the King of Kings. Y'all, that's one of those things we just can't back away from. And it might make us look crazy. I can imagine from a secular mindset. It wasn't that long ago I had a very secular, you know, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I remember thinking, so you think Christ, the Son of God, is going to come and take over this place. He's going to rule and reign here. And as I got into Christian theology, I found out it was even crazier. You know, there's this thousand-year reign thing, this millennium. So you think somebody's going to come? Where's he coming from? Outer space? Oh, no, from heaven? Okay, that's great. He's coming from heaven to come here and rule and reign. Sounds wonderful. Great. You keep that up. Take your meds. Stay on your side of the street, and I'll stay on mine, and we'll be fine. I can imagine that sounding crazy to people. You know, I can imagine. If you've been watching over this last presidential administration, Southern Baptist people, Christian people who believe in the prophecy of the Word of God have been put on the watch list over the last 8 years. Watch out for them. And I'll tell you the truth, I can understand why. Because they don't get Jesus. And that's why when we get so caught up in who's going to run this and who's going to do this, I'm like, it don't matter. They don't get Jesus. One of the things they don't get about him is that he's king. And it don't matter if you rule by what's popular on the polls or what's just popular as a trend or what's the popular morals. There's a king that we all got to answer to. Our political system ain't never going to get that. They're going to rule by popularity and they're going to rule by polls. They're not going to rule by the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings. You understand what I'm saying? But we're his people. The Bible doesn't like hide the fact that we're called to be strange. You know, we're supposed to let our freak flag fly a little bit. We're weirdos here. We are strangers in a strange land, a peculiar people unto God. What makes us peculiar? It's because we believe in King Jesus. Now, Pilate says it, but he don't get there. He's not hearing it. He's not heeding it. Y'all get what I'm saying? He's just not going with it. And some of our leaders might parrot the right things every once in a while, but they're not, believe me, they're not getting it. But my concern is with the church, with the people of God. Are we getting it? It's King Jesus. As the tensions mount, as the protests get bigger and stronger, as a scapegoat is sought out. You know, in our time, we talk about, you know, some of y'all know I'm studying the Holocaust back in this time, right? I don't know why. You know, I'm just studying it. It's because I'm Jewish stuff and just it's in my brain. But they almost completely killed and exiled all the Christians from the country of Syria. You know, there's Christians in Syria long before there is Christians in any part of Europe. Before there's any European Christians or Western Christians. You know where the great missions were launched from? You know, the Apostle Paul, we've heard of him, right? He went on great missions. You know where he launched from? Antioch, Syria. He was part of a great church in Syria. The Apostle Paul was a part of a great church in Syria that had a long tradition. And if they've been all but kicked out. They found a scapegoat. Who are we going to blame when ISIS came in and the government wanted to blame somebody? Who was there? It was the Christian people. And there's been a Christian Holocaust going on to the point where Jonathan Cahn, who is a Messianic Jewish man, got up before the United Nations. They gave him 15 minutes to talk about something. He got up and talked about the Holocaust that's happening in our time with Christians over in Syria. It was kind of mind-boggling. But y'all, if you don't think you're going to be called to account in this world for your Christian faith and given the option to recant, do you know they do that over there too? They'll give them a piece of paper that says, I repent. I don't believe in Christ. I don't think he's a king, a messiah, or anything. And you make, they sign it and they stamp it. And that way you can show them your paper that you've repented of believing in Jesus Christ. So that you don't get killed or exiled. And I know that's not happening in America today. But you know what, church? I do believe the Spirit of God saying, we need to be tougher. We need to be ready. But we got a king. Y'all believe that? Not the crazy friend, but a king. Another truth that he says, we get in the verdict. First is the interrogation. Pilate's actually trying to do this right. He didn't just take the word of the people who brought Jesus to him. They want him just to go ahead and crucify him, sight unseen, no questions asked. Pilate says, no, we're going to ask some questions. Are you a king? And all this stuff. And he's talking to him. When he declares the verdict, he's going to say this three times. In chapter 18, verse 38, chapter 19, verses 4, and 19:6. I find no fault in him at all. That's John 18:38. 19:4. Behold, I'm bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. 19:6. You take and crucify him, he said to the crowds, as they shouted out, crucify, crucify, you take him and crucify him. I find no fault in him. But what's Pilate going to do? We know what he's going to do. Now, we know part of why he did it, because this is God's plan. It wasn't even Pilate's plan. Okay, but I just want you to see how he's getting some of the truth, but he's not going to be convinced. He's not going to heed it. He's not going to follow it. But I want you to hear this. They put Jesus on trial. They interrogate him, and they find no fault in him. I hear a lot of people today talking about, well, you know, I like Jesus. Jesus is fine. Jesus is good. But that, you know, it's that whole church thing, that whole, you know, I don't follow him because, you know, the other people who follow him, there's a lot of hypocrites. A lot of hypocrites up in the church. Who here is a hypocrite? Go ahead and raise your hand up. Yeah, no. Well, I guess they're right. There's a lot of hypocrites up here in the church. Hey, there's a lot of hypocrites up there in Walmart. There's a lot of hypocrites at the bar every Wednesday when I drive by to go pick up the kiddos. There's a lot of hypocrites everywhere in this place. I don't want to go to church because all the hypocrites. Where do you want to hang out with your hypocrites? Y'all heard me ask that before. Come on. When you look back in the mirror, there's somebody looking at you done some hypocritical things. I'm going to tell you, this whole idea that I can like Jesus, but I'm not on his team. I can think Jesus is faultless, but I'm not on his team. That's what Pilate's saying. I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him. All right, well, then stand up, man. Bear the reproach. Say, I find no fault in him. He's great. He's glorious. He's faultless, but Pilate was not going to be on his team. Let me tell you, tipping your hat to Jesus is like giving the finger to Jesus. It ain't no good. It don't do you no good. Okay? You just don't say, well, Jesus is a good man. You know what? He ain't looking for your judgment of him. He's not really overly concerned with your evaluation if you think he's good or this or that. He's a king. He has no sin, no fault. And if you recognize that, you need to fall in line, join his team, and come behind him and be a disciple. Amen? Yeah. You know, it's not one of those things where we go, well, truth is, Jesus is good, but I don't follow Jesus because, well, then you don't know how good he is. Because if you knew how good he was, you'd fall in line. If you knew how good he was, you would say, and you came for me, and you want me on your team? See, when we make this value statement on Jesus, I find no fault with him, but I'm not going to be on his team, it's like we've judged him. He's good, but not good enough. What's missing in Jesus? I just want you to think about it. What's missing in him? What excuses people make? Like I already bought the excuse, well, there's a bunch of hypocrites. I don't like religion. I don't like religion either. Man, denominations get this stuff wrong. Man, if you distance yourself from these Pharisees and Sadducees who judged Jesus during that trial. And we say, well, that stuff don't happen today. Man, religious denominations get it wrong all the time. Not listening, not hearing the truth. You don't gotta be a religious person in the sense of, well, this is what I do. I bleed for this denomination. I bleed for this theology system. Theology systems don't always get it right either. Well, I'm a Calvinist, and the Southern Baptist Convention, there's a big old thing, big old fight. Well, I'm a Calvinist. Well, I'm not a Calvinist. They don't know what they are. They just know they're not a Calvinist. And we're out here in local churches. We've had pastors run off because they preach Calvinism. Who cares? Man, preach Jesus. I'm going to tell you something about Christ Community Church. You know what our greatest asset is? This will forever be true, but I was reminded of it. I was talking with LG the other day, and it struck me again. You know what we have to offer? Jesus, that's what we have. The gospel is what we have. You know, we have programs, we have this and that, and that's fine. But y'all, what we actually have is Christ. We have Jesus to offer. We're going to preach them, we're going to teach them, and that's who we have to offer. That's why we go and bring people to church on the bus so they can hear about Jesus. Jesus is the big thing at Christ Community Church. Amen? Man. And I don't know where we think, well, I like him. I'm all for Jesus, but I'm just not going to be involved. I'm just not going to surrender all. I'm just not going to. Then it's like, you've misunderstood the truth, and there's going to be a conflict in your life. Because eventually, if you really do think on Jesus at all, he's going to be calling you more and more forward to say, I'm not just a good man, I'm the God man, and you need to follow me. I'm going to tell you, that's who he is. That's the truth. Now, even though Pilate could see the sinless, the faultless, he wasn't ready to come over to that. We go down into chapter 19, and verses 10 and 11, they say this. Wow, verses 10 and 11 are ripped out in this Bible. Really, they are. So it's up on the screen. It says something like this, and Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking with me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." Jesus is looking at the judge, jury, and executioner. We rarely have people with such power in our political system. But Pilate was going to be the judge. He was going to pass the verdict, and he was going to pass the sentence. He had all three of those powers right there to do it that day. You think about our system, our capital punishment system, even a state where we have capital punishment. How long does it take before that sentence is enacted? How many appeals and how many things and how many years and how many, you know, tribunals and people are looking at it and all this stuff and lawyers and all this man could say, "Today, you're going to be crucified." From our perspective, that is a great power. But what's the truth? The truth is, that guy didn't have any power that God didn't give him. And that's what Jesus pointed out to him. He said, "You don't get this, but I want to make sure the church gets this. Power, even here on earth to be exercised, it comes from above." Now, when we look at our political system, or if we look at our country and we see the de-evolution, I was listening to Tony Evans last Friday. Not Friday, it just went by, Friday week. And he said, he was talking about the de-evolution of the nation. And I'm going to tell you something. If that's the case, I'm going to tell you it's not a surprise to God. And may I suggest this, that the de-evolution or the wheels coming off this bus may be a benefit to the kingdom of God, even though it's a detriment to the country of America. And I want to tell you something. God's not sentimental or patriotic, but for one place, and it's not this place. For one person, and it's not this person. Okay? It's for his son, and it's for his heaven. And I'm going to tell you something. The power that works in this world, even when we disagree with it, it has a source. It came from somewhere. So we can complain and kick and fuss all we want. But the Bible says this, and Nebuchadnezzar, a mighty, mighty king in the Old Testament, said this, "The Most High rules in the kingdoms of men." He came to that revelation through much suffering, through insanity, through a time of just being out of control that God put him through because of his pride. And when he came out of that, the revelation was the Most High God rules in the kingdoms of men. He had dreams, dream of a great statue. And the prophet Daniel told him at that time, the Most High God rules in the kingdoms of men. And I'm going to tell you, we need to attach to the power that comes and never leaves. And that's the power that comes from heaven. We need to look to God. We need to look for what he's doing and join him there. We don't need to get all crazy and fighting with one another when we can say very honestly and openly the things that are conspiring are not conspiring without the will of God allowing some things like this to happen. Because there is no power to crucify, no power to release outside of the plan and power of God. Now, we know that old Pilate, he had to feel kind of a puff in his chest. "Don't you know I have the power to crucify you or release you?" I think back to Isaiah 53, where it says that he'll be crushed for the transgressions of God's people. And I can imagine Jesus saying, "Don't you know 700 years ago the prophet Isaiah prophesied that the servant of God would come and take on the sin of the world? You're not crucifying me. I'm walking in the plan of God." Don't you know that David wrote way back in Psalm 22 that they're going to pierce my hands and my feet, that my bones are going to be pulled out of joint, that my mouth's going to be so dry? You think you've got power over me? Let me ask you, in that situation, here's Pilate face to face with the Son of God. Who was really in control? Who really had the power? And you know what's something awesome about our God? Is that Christ died to save Pilate just as much as he died to save you or me. Matter of fact, in the Gospel of Mark, we get the idea of this Roman soldier. He done plucked that sword up into Jesus' side. And he started gushing out blood and water. And he said, truly, this is the Son of God. He got that revelation right there because Christ even died for that guy. And any who will turn from themselves, here's the truth, anybody who has turned to Christ in faith will be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You know, that's a direct quote. That's from Acts chapter 16. Paul's talking to the Philippian jailer. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Amen. Praise God. Who has the power? He has the power. The gospel is the power to save. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe, for the Jew and for the Gentile. Who has that power? You know, you and I, Christian people, church, God's people, we don't have to struggle for power from this world. We don't got to try to wrestle power away and keep like a football game or keep trying to gain yards on against the other side and gain ground against the other side. We live in a world that hates Jesus Christ. Eventually, if you love Jesus Christ, you're going to come into conflict with that world. And it's okay because we know who has the power to save us, to keep us, to redeem us, to bring us all the way to heaven. It's Christ. So we stick with him no matter what the cost. And we look at the sentencing of Jesus. In the sentencing of Jesus, we see him go through with, again, with what was going on. Chapter 19, verse 16. Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus away. They took Jesus and they led him away. Whose plan was it? I know I touched on this. Whose plan was it for the crucifixion? You know, if we go back in John, we go back to John chapter 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? That whoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. But you know what it says two verses before then? Just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so the Son of Man will be lifted up. If we go to chapter 12 of the Gospel of John, he says the Son of Man is going to be lifted up. And it says by this he signified which way he's going to die. Matter of fact, I read that over here in verse 32 in chapter 18 of John, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. Jesus kept telling them, you're going to crucify. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be lifted up between heaven and earth, put on a tree, put on a pole. He kept telling them. This was not the plan of Pilate and them only. God was using them. We need to remember those things. Sometimes you're going to have bad things come in your life. Let God use them for your good, for his glory. Amen. Let me tell you another thing. Jesus, a lot of times, even in the church, he gets this tag on him that he was a victim. He was a victim, you know, of these corrupt systems. I believe the systems are corrupt. The religious systems then and now, the political systems then and now, they're not hearing. They're not following Christ. Individuals, we can follow Christ. We can be saved. We can do it together as a group. But I'm going to tell you, at a certain point, it becomes a man thing, and we stop listening to Christ. We start using all different kind of metrics to see if we're successful and we're not following Christ anymore. But my point here is Jesus Christ was the victor here. He was the one who won. He was the triumphant one. This was not the enemy's day. This was not the victory of Satan or Pilate or the Jews or anybody else. That cross that they led him to, although Satan was probably doing the happy dance and knuckle bumping with Caiaphas, the high priest, and Pilate was in there feeling a little bit sad but thinking, at least I got this over with. But they didn't know what kind of thing they started when they sent the Son of God to the cross. And his death is my life. His death is my forgiveness. His death was a complete victory so that the holy God could forgive sins and still be holy. They didn't know what they were going to do. And then they tried to keep him from raising. I can't stop there just because you know what happened next. They tried to seal the grave up and put some soldiers there. And those soldiers end up freaked out because the Son of God didn't stay there because the grave couldn't hold him. And he came out and he's alive forevermore. Y'all listen. That's the truth. that the Scripture gives us. That's the truth that changed my life. That's the truth. And we're going to be called to testify to it. Jesus said that. But if you heard it and you know it, don't you run from it. Don't you run from Him. He died for you and me. It wasn't a loss. It was a complete and utter victory. The cross wasn't failure. It was triumph. A triumph of the obedience of the Son of God to come after us. A triumph of love and compassion to come and get us. You might be called in front of somebody who, like Pilate, says, "What is truth?" and sneers about how irrelevant, how impractical your truth or the truth or my truth. How could you say this is the truth? You just keep saying, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the truth. And don't ever back down. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And Lord, I pray if there's any, if you're doing work in anybody's life, whatever that work may be, that you would just continue to do that, that you would work it out. If there's somebody in here who's never made their allegiance, they maybe have picked the Republican team, and they maybe picked the Democratic team or the black team or the white team or the poor or the rich team or the church team, but they're not on your team. Father, would you convict them that they need to come to you, give their whole life without reservation, ask for your forgiveness, and be willingly led obediently by you. Father, would you do that right now? Do that work in their life that somebody might be born again. Somebody might be renewed. Because the truth is, when you put your faith, when we put our faith in you, you make us new. And Lord, we love you. If there's anybody here who's just worried, so many Christian people are worried. Are we going to be seen as intolerant haters? Help us to stick with the truth no matter how we're seen. Help us to stick with your word no matter what it costs. And Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask if the ushers would come up for the morning offering. And as they do, I just want to remind you of something. God doesn't ever rest or sleep. If you heard something in this message, or you heard something, or something comes to your mind that you read, whatever it might be, do business with God. If you got something to do business with God right now, use this time of the offering just to say you're going to do business with the Lord right now. Whatever it is, pray. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. But can I tell you something? You're not going to escape having to decide if you're fully on His team or not. So you decide. And it's the best team. We're not asking God to be on our team. We're asking and thanking God that He allows us to be on His team. Okay? And He's the truth. Father, as we take up this offering, we give you thanks and praise. We love you, and we thank you for allowing us to worship in this way, to return back a tangible portion of what you've given us throughout the week, throughout the month. And Lord, we love you, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Hey, y'all, to our friends and guests and visitors, thank you all for being here. You're welcome at Christ Community Church. If anybody's interested in joining, there's actually a sign. There's a table out there that's got all kind of sign-up sheets for everything. One of those sign-up sheets is for a membership class that's going to happen on August 7th. So we encourage you to go by there. There's also a bake sale going on. And I was watching that stuff come in. Is Irby here? There's Irby right there. You bring an Irby cake? He makes this cake. They ain't got no name except for his name. It's Irby cake. And I think if you bought it for $1,000, you'd be getting a bargain. You know what I'm saying? So just... You'd freak everybody out if you did that too. But I'm just saying, get you some baked good stuff. But y'all remember, as we go, as you watch the news, as the world crashes in and all these things, there is one kingdom. There's a kingdom that prevails. There's a king who prevails, and it's Jesus Christ, and there's none other. Amen? All right, let's pray as we close. Father God, as we close, we just say thank you. We got just the thoughts of you ruling and reigning in our minds, on our lips, in our heart. And Father, we just long for that day. Like when Ron said he had that dream and he saw you coming. One day you're coming. We don't know when. We just know that the gospel finishes on the greatest and the highest of notes, that the one who died for us because he loves us and because he's just sold out to this kingdom, he's going to be our king. Before he rules and reigns, he died to be our Savior. And Lord, we long to meet him face to face. We long for your presence, Lord. And we give you all the praise. And we love you. Take us as we go. And we're in your hands. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thank you all for letting me be your pastor. And I love you. Ready? Break.